Well, good morning. Welcome to church, everyone. We trust you are well and continuing to keep safe. Be encouraged. For those who are listening as visitors to our service, my name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome. We here at Abbotsford Anglican are a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose for life by living life God's way according to His Word, the Bible. We invite you to know God with us. Involved in the service today is Kay. She'll be reading the set Bible readings, and Fiona will lead us in prayer. This morning we continue our Bible teaching time through the Old Testament books of Ezra and Haggai, and our mission focus for August is on the work and ministry of to refugees. In particular, today we'll be praying for the work of Cameron and Lara Blair. We'll also pray for the work of Anglicare, in particular the work of hospital chaplains. The Reverend David Anthonez is presently the Anglican chaplain at Concord Hospital, and we'll pray for him. Well, we've come together this morning, though not in person, but in spirit, to meet with God and to take our part in the building of His church. For us, Christ Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By His wounds we have been healed. Let us acknowledge our failure to serve Him as He deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith, praying together. Heavenly Father, You have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected Your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of Your Son, who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By Your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for You and to please You in every way, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. God therefore forgives us in Jesus Christ, who shed His blood for us. Amen. Give praise to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done. God indeed hears us when we call out to Him in prayer. And He speaks to us through His word, the Bible. Through His word and His dealings with His people, God makes known to us who He is and what He has done for us, that we might know how to live as His people. Kay is going to come now and read to us from the Bible. She's going to read to us the set readings for today from Ezra, Haggai, and Galatians. So grab hold of your Bibles, turn to the readings that she directs us to. Thanks, Kay.
Good morning, this is Kay and I hope you are all well. Before I start Bible reading, I want to read this prayer. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive Your word, understanding to know what it means and the will to put it into practice through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The first Bible reading is from Ezra chapter 5, 1 and 2. Now Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the prophet, a descendant of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, who was over them. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jozadak, set to work to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them, supporting them. The next reading is from Haggai, Chapter 1, verses 1 to 15. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses, while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honoured, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home I blew away. Why, declared the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld the dew and the earth is its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock and on all the labour of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. Then they came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month. The last reading is from Galatians 6, verses 7 to 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Kay. Well, let's affirm now our faith together in the words from Philippians. Please stand. Jesus Christ, in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Please be seated and turn with me to your Bibles, to Ezra chapter 5 and to Haggai. The title for today's sermon is A Call for Honest and Obvious Devotion. And it's the fourth in our sermon series through the Old Testament books of Ezra and Haggai on new beginnings with God. So let me begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. We thank you that you speak to us through your word. We ask now that your Spirit will guide us into truth. Help me to teach your word correctly, and may we be able to apply it to our lives with your help. To your glory we pray. Amen. Well, it never ceases to amaze me that when we go through a difficult time in our lives, whether we be people who are believers or not, God has hardwired us to go to the one who can help us the best. Himself. Whether we call out to him in anger or frustration, why God, or in weakness and sincerity, help me, Lord, God has made us to believe instinctively that He is sovereign. He hears our prayer, and He's the one who's able to take control of matters. That when we call out to Him, He is the one who will help us the best, whether we realize it or not. And if we consider carefully our ways during difficult times and earnestly seek His mind and will in the matter we're going through, He does not fail to help. Sometimes taking us out of the situation, if that be so, or more likely so, giving us the reason that we need to see us through it. Wouldn't you agree? But it equally amazes me, whether we are believers or not, that we think that the same God we believe to be sovereign does not see, does not care, does not react when we are deliberately disobedient. That we are not accountable for the consequences of our disobedience that fall on ourselves and others, or turn a blind eye when we conveniently arrange matters for ourselves that allows us to rationalize away what God expects of us, as if we're outside His laws, or God forbid, we think above His laws and it doesn't apply to us. In difficult times, we are to give careful thought always to our ways. That when we cry out for help or in frustration and anger, why God? That we hear His answer and reasoning and humbly accept His will in the matter. Take responsibility for our actions and comply. Well, this morning, this is the very situation God's people find themselves as the story Ezra unfolds in the pages before us. It's around the middle of the 6th century BC. God's people had lost possession of the promised land, you remember, and been exiled off to Assyria and Babylon, but an opportunity was given to a few to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Ezra is the one who recalls the history of events, and Haggai is the preacher prophet God raises up to encourage His people during this time. We left the story last week in chapter 4 with them having returned and completed the foundation of the temple. The chapter began with the people of God enthusiastic to get on with the work. Then they were challenged by what appeared to be a friendly and godly offer to help by those who had been dwelling in the land already. The help seemed admirable, but it was an offer God's people had to refuse. These were people called the Samaritans, and we read of their story, you remember, back in 2 Kings chapter 17. They had been a people taught to worship God, but mixed it with the worship of many gods. We could call them very religious people or spiritual people, but with no relationship or commitment to one God over another. Jesus said of the Samaritans in John chapter 4, verse 22, "You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews." And having now started a new beginning with God, God's people had learnt from the mistake of the past of mixed worship. It was their undoing in the past, the reason for their capture, loss, and exile off to the nations. And they knew that God had said to them, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me." So they flatly and respectfully and rightly refused the Samaritans' offer of help. To agree would have been their undoing. God's people are not to mix their worship, their work with and for God, with other faiths. Their refusal brought with it a further challenge, angry opposition. Remember? Masks removed, the Samaritans' true intentions were revealed, and for 15 years, they constantly undermined and opposed the work of God's people in the temple. You can read that there in chapter 3 of, and 4 there of Ezra. Such is God's people's lot. If we seek to be holy and set apart for God as God intends. You remember Christ has told us we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We ought not to be surprised if we encounter similar challenges and opposition for our refusal. Now, such challenges are discouraging. That is their intent and danger. We're to be aware of such. But should such challenges, difficulties, opposition and discouragement give us good reason for capitulation and to place our priorities, our own wills and desires over and above that of God's? This is the question, this is the situation God is addressing God's people in the chapters before us this morning. And this is why he gets the prophet Haggai to speak in chapter 1 there, to motivate God's people to obedience. It's 15 years later, the second year of the reign of King Darius. It's around 523 BC, and by now, the constant opposition, the constant undermining has finally caused for work on the temple to be stopped, completely stopped. And with no word from God through a prophet over those 15 years, eventually God's people began to question, sincerely, I think. See there, verse 2 of Haggai chapter 1. If God wanted the temple built at all, though the time obviously was right to get on with the work, maybe God doesn't want us to get on with building his temple. It's just too hard to do that now. Let's just get on with looking after ourselves. Yeah, let's okay. When God wants us to do the building of the temple, he'll let us know. A self-rationalization of their situation set in, and it led to a convenient self-justification of their actions. Devotion to God's priorities took second place, and time was taken up with achieving their own personal priorities before God. Things were not going well for them as a result. We too can fall into the same temptation. When God seems silent, or we've allowed ourselves not to have an opportunity to hear the word of God, or made the effort to allow ourselves to do so, or think on God's mind and will in matters, devotion to God's priorities can take second place, and time be taken up with achieving our own personal priorities before God's. Where we find ourselves as a result is our own doing. In God's timing, the prophet Haggai is raised up to bring God's word to his people, to motivate them to give careful thought to their ways, to think on what they're really doing, to listen to God's answer and reasoning, and humbly accept his will in the matter. repent, change the way they are thinking and behaving, and return to building the temple. Verses 5 to 11 there. We would say, seek first the kingdom of God. Always seek first the kingdom of God. And as Jesus said, all these things we are worried about, he'll give to us. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto us. Well, the good news is that the people of God there in Ezra's time, verses 2 of Ezra 5 there, and verses 12 to 15 of Haggai 1, is that God's people did. They did consider their ways, and they did repent, and they did change the way they were thinking and behaving, and they returned to building the temple. They did put God's priorities first. And look there with me at verse 13. God rewarded them. Our sovereign God rewarded them with the reminder of his presence. Verse 13 of Haggai 1. I am with you. And the motivation to live appropriately and to get on with doing God's work. Verses 14 and 15. And this is where we leave their story today. Let me pray. Teach us, O gracious Lord, to begin our works with reverence, to go on in obedience and finish them with love, and then wait patiently in hope and with cheerful countenance look to you, whose promises are faithful and rewards infinite, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's spend a little time now in prayer, and so I'll invite Fiona to come up now and lead us in a time of prayer. Thanks, Fiona.
The Lord be with you and also with you. Please join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. O God, you are from eternity unto eternity. You are not at one time or in one place, because all times and places are in you. We now seek to understand our destiny as one of your children. Here we stand, weak and mortal, amid the immensities of nature. But we bless you, O Lord God, that you have made us in your own likeness and have breathed into us the breath of your own life. With our poor bodies, you have set a spirit that is your Holy Spirit within us. Within this corruptible, you have planted incorruption, and within this mortal, immortality. So from this small room and in this short time, we lift up our minds beyond all time and space to you, the uncreated one, until the light of thy countenance illumines all our lives. Let us keep in mind that our mortal body is but the servant of our immortal soul. Let us keep in mind how uncertain is our hold upon our bodily life. Let us remember that here we have no continuing city, but only a place of sojourn and a time of testing and of training. Let us use this world, but not abuse it. Let us be in the world, but not of it. Let us be as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Let us understand the vanity of the temporal and the glory of the eternal. May our world be centered not in ourselves, but in you. Almighty God, who did raise from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, you set him at your right hand in glory everlasting. We thank you and praise you for this hope of immortality, with which through many ages you have cheered and enlightened the souls of your saints, and which you did most surely seal through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Some troubled areas of our world. Please, Father, curtail the destruction of the Taliban in Afghanistan. We beg that the American troops who go there would be wise as serpents, innocent as doves, and seek to restore peace with minimum violence. We also ask, Lord, that in your mercy you would look favorably upon Greece with the awful raging fires. Enable their firefighters to contain the blazes. In these and other disasters where many lives are threatened, we long that more people would turn or return to you, the only source of life and lasting hope. We praise you, Lord, that in both good times and hard times, you are always at work for the good of those who love you. We glorify you, Sovereign Lord. You are good all the time, even when it's not obvious to us. Thank you for our Redeemer, Jesus, the anchor of our souls, and we thank you for hearing this prayer and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. A prayer for COVID. Sovereign Lord, you know all things and through all circumstances of life, thank you that you accompany your people. We thank you for prospering the work of those providing vaccines and also the distribution of the vaccine. Please protect and strengthen those who are treating the sick. Please bring your unique comfort to the sick and those who mourn the loss of loved ones or who are living in fear of this disease. Give to the governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis, and grant to your people patience, compliance, and peace, generous and wise hearts, and a renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety to you, that they may find that peace which only you can give. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, we pray for Aboriginal church leaders in the Northern Territory. You know how they are scattered over a huge area and that there is little opportunity for fellowship. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen and give them courage to grow and mature in Christ. Please, Lord, raise up new leaders who will reach out to those in their community. We pray for unity in Jesus across language and culture. We pray for perseverance in the struggle against injustice and for a clear witness to Jesus' salvation. And Father, we remember especially today your servants Estelle, Michael, William, Andrew, Carol, Marjorie, Darren, Lois, Veronica, Violet, Yuki, James, Edwin, Gayangwa, Millie, and Colleen. Please continue to direct and watch these servants that they may bring great glory to your name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our missionary focus for this month is the Blairs and David at Concord Hospital. Loving God, for Cameron and Lara, please help them be wise and creative in how they support refugees with the current COVID restrictions. May they prioritise daily time, delighting in you, remembering that apart from Jesus, they can do nothing. Please help the whole family be extra loving and gentle with each other and manage well the stresses that COVID adds to normal family life. We pray, Father, that they would shine like stars in a dark world as they hold out the words of life. We pray also that they would grow in thankfulness to you, their sovereign Lord. And Father, for Reverend David Anthony's, thank you that he is able to serve at Concord Hospital while Emily adjusts to being a new mum. Help him manage his time well. Give him the capacity to listen very carefully to patients, families, and staff. And may he humbly serve that community and bring great joy to your heart. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Loving God, in a world that selfishly lives for the moment, without thought for whatever evil we may be causing the future, we thank you, God, for commanding us to be people of hope. Please do not allow us to be conformed to the present short-sighted, self-serving attitudes, but open our eyes to see all those things that are possible through Christ Jesus, our Saviour. Give us a sure commitment to your new heaven and new earth by living some of the promised future in the here and now, giving no thought of reward, reaching out to the forsaken, bandaging the wounded, challenging injustices, fostering seeds of faith, caring for this earth you've blessed us with, exposing pride and greed, building bridges of understanding, and loving our neighbours of the future. Stretch our vision to include the improbable and strengthen our wills to take the next step on your road. Assure us again that you can do exceedingly more than we can ever ask or imagine. And we give you great glory for your loving purposes now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. The set prayer for today. Let us pray that the love of God may raise us beyond what we see to the unseen glory of his kingdom. God our Father, may we love you in all things and above all things reach the joy you have prepared for us beyond all imagining. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God for ever and ever. Amen. Father, hear our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, may God answer our prayers in a way that's best for us and brings glory to his name. Thanks, Fiona. Well, join with me tonight via Zoom anytime between 5 to 6 p.m. It would be good to catch up and see each other face to face. The link's been forwarded to you via email from Janice. That brings our service to a close. Thank you for joining me. If you're visiting our service, we invite you to join with us again next week. Before we leave, let me pray. Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honour you in our thoughts, words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you and also with you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.